absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 216 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural, which is the second of a series of Erasmus podcasts to celebrate and highlight the 30th anniversary of this mother of all exchange student programs. My name is Laurent Borgmann and I will guide you through our show. In this episode, we are going to hear the stories of three of our friends. Lucy is an Erasmus guest lecturer from our partner university, Brock University in Canada, and she will tell us about her traveling experiences in Germany and how different this can be to Canada. Then we will listen to our exchange student from Azerbaijan, Seymour, who is going to share with us his example of the famous Erasmus experience. Finally, we will hear Omar, another Erasmus exchange student from Spain. He will tell us about his experience living on his own in a foreign country for the first time and what it is like to be an Erasmus student from both the academic and his day-to-day perspectives. In our first category, Absolutely Adventurous, our Erasmus guest lecturer Lucy from Brock University in Canada will share her traveling experiences within Germany and what differences she noticed when she was using German local trains.
And so then, you know, it's time for me to take the train back, and I'm standing on the platform and the sign says, you know, the train is coming and I forget the time, but, you know, in 5 minutes. And, you know, still 5 minutes later, the train's not here. And then 5 minutes later, the train's not here. And
in our second category, Absolutely Erasmus, our Erasmus student Seymour will tell us about the use of English in Germany and in Azerbaijan and share his own personal Erasmus moment.
And sitting there and realizing that I'm surrounded by people from different parts of the world. We're so different, yet we're so similar, and we're here in Germany behind one table.
In our last category, Absolutely Practical, our Erasmus student Omar is going to relive the first days of being completely alone in a foreign country, as well as share his Erasmus experience from both the academic and his day-to-day perspectives, such as how to hold knife and fork when you are eating with the Germans.
Yeah, the experience was like, oh my God, what I'm going to do here? What is going to be the problems? I don't know, the first time we cooked together, the way they hold the forks. Really like shock because they took it different.
But now let us start with the show. In our first category, Absolutely Adventurous, our guest lecturer Lucy tells us about some differences between Germany and Canada, which also covers her traveling. Interestingly enough, one of the challenges she faced was buying the correct ticket from the machines, which sometimes can be confusing even for the Germans.
It's more for me, the train, I think, was kind of the challenge.
Okay.
You know, so I want to buy a ticket, but I want to go to Bonn, but I'd rather buy the ticket in person with the, you know, to the counter rather than the machine, even though I can get the English on the machine.
Yes.
But I wanted a ticket, you know, I wanted a ticket to Bonn. But I didn't want to go today. I want to go when I want. And so trying to explain that I want a ticket, I want to return, but I don't, not today, but another day.
Can
I
use it? I don't want it to be stamped now.
And so, you know, and sort of get the, okay, I have to validate. I can see that from my travel book, validate the ticket. But
if that's any consolation for you, this is equally difficult for Germans.
Okay. And where's the machine to validate the ticket and so on. But during the Easter break, I decided that I would do the cruise on the Rhine.
Oh, nice.
Which I thought was a good, being in the region, it's a great opportunity to do that. And, you know, with the days off, it is perfect.
What did you see?
So I went, I took the train really early in the morning. I went to Mainz. And then I took the boat in Mainz. Mainz, I was one of the first people on the boat, and I was kind of a good seat, you know, way at the front. And I could go all the way to a town, a small town called Beaupard. And then in Beauport, then I took the train back to, or my intention was to take the train back to Koblenz and back to Remagen.
And I guess this is picture book Germany, perhaps, when you're on that boat and you see the cliffs and everything, the romantic ride.
Absolutely beautiful. And, you know, the castle, there's a castle every...
And another one, just gorgeous.
And you wonder... How did they get the you know, the equipment, the bricks up the hill? Because they're all on the top of the hill, so it's absolutely gorgeous.
It's quite impressive.
Yeah, so I end up in Beauport, and then I had a chance to visit the town. And so then, you know, it's time for me to take the train back. And I'm standing on the platform, and the sign says, you know, the train is coming in at, I forget the time, but, you know, in 5 minutes. And, you know... Still, 5 minutes later, the train's not here. And then 5 minutes later, the train's not here. And the Japanese tourists are coming onto the platform and they're buying their ticket from the computerized system. And, you know, they're having difficulty. So they ask someone who says, oh, no, you can't take the train. Look, there's a sign just above... you know, the train to Koblenz and the time, it's there's a sign that keeps going. There's a line that keeps going saying the train tracks are closed for repairs. So I'm kind of listening, wondering. So the German says, no, you must take the bus. So follow me. I thought, oh, okay. So I followed, even though I didn't particularly ask, but they were going to Koblenz. And in the end, I took the bus back to Koblenz. I'm always amazed, though, that on the train, there's very little English. Mm-hmm. And I'm always afraid, am I in the right wagon? Am I in the right, you know, will the train actually stop at my, in Remagen? There's, it's interesting, I guess on the IC trains, on the high speed trains, English is also
spoken,
but the local trains. So that's probably the biggest challenge is the language, is the language issue. But overall, people have been so nice about, you know, either...
helping
you. Yeah, or, you know, and sometimes they just don't speak English. So, by the context, you can figure things out and it's worked for the most part.
As you heard from Lucy, when you visit Rhein A Campus in the beautiful Rhine Valley, you should perhaps also go for a boat trip on the romantic Rhine, which is the best way to have a good look at a great number of castles on the surrounding hills. On the high-speed trains, you can rely on your English. However, on the local trains, Lucy's suggestion is to get in touch with fellow travelers to buy the correct tickets in advance. In our second category, Absolutely Erasmus, our Erasmus student Seymour will dive into the way the English language is used in Azerbaijan and in Germany. As soon as he arrived in Germany, he realized that perhaps it is a good idea to start working on his German. He will also tell us about his first days here in Germany and what really struck him as a typical Erasmus moment.
In fact, this is my first time being out of home, like, at all, because I used to live with my mother. So, yeah, this is my first time living alone thing right now.
So what were the biggest challenges?
Challenges. It was, at first, like, figuring out how to do everything yourself, because I'm not used to this. Like, now I am, but when I first came here, I had to Google a lot. How to, like, chop onions, how to cut onions, for example.
Really?
How to, like, cook something more complicated than just a, like, a sandwich.
Okay, that is interesting, because I always wonder why there are these videos, how to chop an onion, for example.
Now you know.
But I know. So that was very helpful at the beginning of your stay here. Now, what about the language? You needed to be tested in English.
Yep.
So that means, does that mean that all your academic work is in English? And how about the other way around? Chrissy in Baku, can she survive with just English, or do you need the language of the country as well?
Actually, all studies, like at my university, well, at least BBA program that I'm in, all studies are in English. So we're studying in English, okay. And it's pretty easy for me and for Chrissy because, yeah, we all know English. And if we're speaking about her, if we were talking about her, yeah, it would be a little bit difficult for her to navigate. But I think she did a great job and still does.
So what are the hurdles abroad? Is it the supermarket, for example? Or where do you notice, oh my God, I wish I spoke better German?
Here, in my experience, yeah, it's pretty tough to go to the supermarkets because... Yeah, sometimes I don't see exactly like how much something costs, like, because like the monitor is turned to like to them, yeah. And I don't see the number on the screen, and they tell it in German.
Okay.
And I like now I starting to kind of, you know, learn numbers, and I became more accustomed to that. But at first I didn't understand. I was like, you know, excuse me, what? Could you please say it in English? I can survive with English, it's no problem, but yeah, German is a very good advantage.
Okay. Now, you're here on Erasmus. Has there been any moments in Germany where you would say, well, this was a moment when I really had the impression, now Erasmus is here, now you can feel the Erasmus spirit somehow?
I think that Erasmus is all about intercultural experience and broadening your horizons and like growing as a person and as a professional. And one Erasmus moment that I had, it was my friend's birthday here. He is from Georgia, so he invited me at his birthday. And I was sitting there in the evening behind the table, and there were a lot of my like groupmates with me. If I like looked to the right, I will see Nicholas from Brazil. If I look to the left, I will see Yuri from South Korea. A lot of people from different parts of the world. Yes. And then my Georgian friend, Becca, started his birthday speech. And he started to explain traditions in Georgia. And he said that during the special events in Georgia, for example, such as weddings and birthdays, they usually have a special person, a host, that is like, well, obviously hosting like the whole event and trying to keep guests entertained.
Like a master of ceremonies.
Yeah,
or something.
He's called Tamada. It's their job. Paying them for like hosting the birthday and just keeping guests entertained, like, you know, coming up with different games to play, coming up with
stories. Never heard about that.
Yeah,
that's
like
interesting.
It's basically a person who keeps every guest engaged in like in what's happening right now. So yeah, it's basically the person that makes the event more memorable and alive, you know, like.
That is such a good idea, because that means that the birthday person can actually relax a little bit more,
yeah.
And doesn't have to be the perfect host.
Yeah, nobody is pressured, so everybody is just concentrating on like enjoying the moment. Nobody thinks about, well, I have to do something right now or else it's going to be pretty boring, or it's an awkward situation, embarrassing.
Awkward. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a dedicated person for that who does all the job. And actually, in Azerbaijan and basically in all like post-Soviet countries, we also do have like tamadas. So suddenly I felt that even though we're in different countries,
yeah.
I felt something, you know, like we've been, like he was my friend since like a long time ago. It was so bonding experience. So yeah, and it continued. Nicolas from Brazil, he decided to play a song like on a laptop, and he put his like Brazil song, like you've probably heard it. It was a mainstream song. Like we've listened to it in Azerbaijan as well. It was pretty popular. So I realized that even though we're from different parts of the earth,
yes.
We still have a lot of things in common. And sitting there and realizing that I'm surrounded by people, as I said before, yeah, from different parts of the world, we're so different, yet we're so similar. And we're here in Germany behind one table, like united in one goal to get intercultural experience, to grow, to become a better people. It struck me like, wow, yeah, now I understand what Erasmus is. this is the Erasmus moment. I know why did, like, I don't know who created Erasmus, who was the person who started it, but my applause to this person. He did a great job.
Thank you to Seymour for sharing his best Erasmus moments with us. And this brings us to our last story today, Absolutely Practical, where our Spanish Erasmus student, Omar, will tell us about his experience with the exchange program and how he managed to live completely on his own in a foreign country for a whole year. Even the way people hold their knives and forks seems to be different in Germany, so it was not easy for him in the beginning. Moreover, he's going to tell us how he would give advice to his friends to plan their own stays abroad. I was surprised to hear how different the lectures are in Germany and in Spain. Omar finds his German classes to be much more practical, whereas in Spain they seem to be more focused on theory.
I'm a student of computer science in the University of Córdoba. And yeah, this should be my last semester studying computer science, and I choose to do it in Erasmus program.
Is that a regular thing in Spain, that students do their Erasmus semester or their Erasmus year abroad?
Yeah, actually it's not really common that people in Spain do this thing. Like, for example, the first year, usually you have a lot of talks about your internationalization of your studies. And I don't know, like, people there seems really interested in the thing. Like, you can see in their faces that they are really willing to do an Erasmus project.
So how does that work? So the professors invite you and then they tell you something about it?
Yeah, actually, like, all first-year students, they should have this talk and they should tell you, like, yeah, like, there are these options for this bachelor. You should go this way. Like, this is the budget we are offering you. Mm-hmm. But in this case, like, what you see the first days until what you do at the end is nothing compared to, like, okay. People's faces are really willing to do the first year, but at the end, like, for example, we are three people, I think, doing the studies abroad, so I think it's different.
Okay, so it is very special to do something like that. Mm-hmm. When you arrived in Germany, you were perhaps a little bit out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Can you think of a situation where you were really out of your comfort zone, where you thought, oh my God, why are these Germans doing things as they are doing?
Yeah, I mean, being here, it was my first experience living completely alone. Like, I was living in Netherlands, but it was living with a family there.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, the change to going alone somewhere, and yeah, even going with people that I didn't knew them, because they were my flatmates were from Germany. And yeah, the experience was like, oh my God, what I'm going to do here? What is going to be the problems? I don't know, the first time we cooked together, the way they hold the forks. Really like shock, because they took it different the way we...
Why? Can you describe that a little?
Yeah, like usually in Spain it's common to have always we have forks and we have spoons and we have knives. Mm-hmm. And they always eat everything with a fork, and they always have it with the right hand and the left hand. And the way they hold it is like, I don't know, if someone's play percussion or something, it's like a traditional way, like you put the in a diagonal way the fork, and that is really shock for me, because it's like, yeah, the fork is for forking, not for holding food or something. Yeah, it's a shock, but...
Okay. Have there been any moments where you had the impression, now this is what I was really waiting for, this is my Erasmus moment, this is why I put all my energy into making this happen?
Yeah, I think that there should be several situations I have experienced that, but maybe the first one is... that happened to me was when I was in the wine festival in Remagen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wine festival is a festival that usually people go out and they try different kind of wines, and there are typical German music, people drunk, obviously. And yes, I don't know, I didn't thought I was going to take part into the party as much as I was going with the other international students, but I saw people dancing to German music, and I did as well. I was there, like, completely into the music without even knowing what they were saying, because my German is not good.
Okay.
And I don't know, people were looking at you, and it was really funny, because, yeah, they look at you and they don't know, like, why is he dancing like this way or something? He doesn't know what to dance. And I was like, I don't know, but I'm having fun at this moment.
Academically, what are you getting out of your stay here in Germany? Are the classes very different? Mm-hmm. Are there maybe different styles of teaching? What have you noticed academically?
Yeah, maybe the most important change is like the studies here are really practical compared to Spain. Like Spain, they are really focused on the theory. You have an exam at the end, and I have had like 3 or 4 classes about computers in Germany at the moment, and most of them, you don't have an exam at the end. They request you a work during all the classes, and at the end you have to do a program, a project at the end, and that is really interesting because at the end what is value is what you have learned from this, not a theory and an exam, you know. And it's interesting that they request a program or a project, and yeah, this is different in Spain. It's like always an exam, and you have to prepare for it.
Okay, and now you have the impression that you got much more practical training here.
Sure.
Now, if you meet your friends right after you're coming home to Spain, what would you advise them? How should they plan their stay abroad?
I would say that the first thing they should look is going to a place that they know that there is not going to be any Spanish student there. Like to be completely alone and to try to to be with people from every part of the world, because I don't know, like I have felt like when I have friends in Bonn and I have met them, and they are always like the Spanish people together, the French
yes.
people together,
yes.
and I think that the idea of being with no one that is from your home country, not being with friends, like going alone and practicing your English, practicing other languages, meeting people, having houses everywhere is really nice compared to going abroad with friends, like not holidays. I don't want to be a holidays, my Erasmus. I want this to be part of me.
Thank you all who joined us for today's show. Please check us out on our website at absolutely-intercultural.com. Here you can get more information about this and also about previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 4th of August 2017. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.